Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me this morning to co-host on this, Wednesday the what?
First of July.
Wow. 6 months of 2020 is gone.
We are in July.
Yep.
We do hope that you learned to write 2020 on your checks by now, for those of you who still write checks. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
Fred Jackson, how are you doing, brother?
Good, and it is July 1st, so we want to wish all our Canadian listeners and viewers Happy Canada Day.
Okay, is this the equivalent of July 4th for Canadians?
Exactly, yeah.
All right.
Formed Canada 1867.
Oh, great. Question for you. What year was it that Canada was birthed?
1867.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they buy the land from somebody, or... How'd that work?
No, the French and the English just kept fighting over everything, and eventually the English, after giving the land back to the French on multiple occasions, decided, no, we're going to keep it this time.
And so?
In Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, the Fathers of Confederation met, and they started to put together a country. Now, there's been a few provinces added since then. Newfoundland was the last one in at 1949. But Ontario, Quebec kind of... They were the country first.
Is that why it's French-speaking?
Quebec, yeah. The French had pretty well maintained control there. The French leader de Gaulle, back when Pierre Elliott Trudeau was prime minister, came into Quebec and said, Vive la free Quebec. And Trudeau sent him packing back to Paris. But the separatist movement is still alive, the Parti Québécois. Very much a separatist movement, so they still have their tensions there.
Well, Allison, my wife and I had the pleasure of visiting British Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
Where you...
Yes, Vancouver. Lived there for 10 years, yeah.
Well, we went to visit some friends in Linden, Washington, which is up near the border. Up near the Canadian border.
Yep.
So one day, we went on a cruise... Walker, I know you don't care anything about this, but I'll tell you anyway. We went on a cruise, left out of, not Seattle, but way north of Seattle.
Was it Blaine or Bellingham?
Yeah, Bellingham.
Okay.
Left out of a cruise that you went through the Sound.
Yep.
There, and then we ended up in Victoria.
Oh, nice.
And we went to these beautiful gardens.
Bouchard Gardens.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. I just remember they were stunning. Mm-hmm. I mean, the color of the flowers, and
yeah,
it was in the summer, and then we went to I know everybody else didn't care about this either, but I'm hosting the show, so you just have to listen or turn the radio. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just kidding. We went to a place where they said the Queen used to come and have her tea.
Yes,
Queen of England.
Yes, there's a beautiful big old hotel right in downtown.
Yes. So that reminded me when I went there, oh, this is British.
Mm-hmm.
This was British territory.
Very much so, yeah.
Before Canada became an independent country. Yeah. Well, you ever get a chance to go?
Yeah.
Victoria.
Bouchard Gardens. You know that was a gravel pit?
Really?
And they turned it into a beautiful, beautiful garden. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just know I've told this story before, but it was my first time to be in... in the state of Washington. I had been in Idaho before, but so we got a rental car in Seattle and drove north on that interstate. What is that interstate?
I-5.
I-5.
Mm-hmm.
And the interstate winds through just gorgeous countryside up toward the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I got back here to Mississippi, and I told everybody, I said, let me tell you something. I have been to the Pacific Northwest, and we only think we know what trees are. As these are majestic, towering, I don't know how tall they are, 50, 100, 150 feet tall, just beautiful,
yeah,
gorgeous trees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they think they know what rivers are. out there.
That's right.
They haven't seen the Mississippi, but no. Anyway. All right, Walker, if people want to continue to listen to me drone on and on, they want to watch me do that, how can they do that?
Yeah, if they want to go back this afternoon and listen to your 7-minute story on your trip to Canada, they can at our podcast page at AFR.net. But you can also listen live at AFR.net and on the AFR app on your smartphone or tablet device. Just download the AFR app. And, of course, we're always on social media. Facebook and YouTube. Just
We're always for now on social media.
Yeah, every day we're on social media for now. Today's issues on Facebook or YouTube.
Facebook and YouTube, today's issues. All right, Fred, what's leading the news?
What's leading the news at this hour is police in Seattle have moved into the CHOP zone to break it down. Mayor Jenny Durkan, who at one point several weeks ago when all this started out there, when these anarchists took over a 6-block area of the city, she called it the Summer of Love and a festive environment inside there. Well, 2 people have been killed, several more seriously injured. And finally, at 5:00 this morning, the police were ordered to move in and break down this zone that had been taken over by these anarchists. And so that's happening right now. There have been multiple arrests. The latest report says police are keeping an eye on some vehicles in the area whose tags, license plates, are being obscured. And the police fear that they may have weapons in those vehicles. So this is an ongoing story, and we're watching it very carefully. But listen, there have been robberies, assaults, violence, countless property crimes have occurred there. Businesses that have been there in this area of the city for years have been shut down and boarded up. In fact, a group of the businesses there are suing the city
for
allowing this nonsense to go on and on and on. It is just tragic that any of this has occurred. What you probably haven't heard is, you know, these protests allegedly were connected to the death of Mr. Floyd. And the reality is the 2 young men killed were black kids, teenagers, that were killed inside this zone. And as the report says, countless numbers of violence, robberies, et cetera, et cetera.
Sexual assaults.
And here's the thing. Why did this mayor allow this to continue? She was warned that this was going to happen inside this zone, and she let it go on and on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. I don't know when her reelection is, but it'll be curious to see if she has to prioritize politically, Walker, for this. I don't know that she will, but Fred, you lived, as we said earlier, not in Washington State, but in Canada, there north. There's a lot of very liberal people that live there. They may not care too much about this kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
We have to wait and see.
Well, I think what happens, though, is, yes, liberals elect liberals. Which
especially
is
in
what
the
happened.
Seattle area.
Seattle area. But I don't think they elected a leader that they thought would do this.
Right.
And that's why I'm sure these business people, some of them may have voted for the mayor.
Right.
Yeah.
To get her in there. But now they've lost their business, perhaps for good. It's done.
Yeah, if the folks in Seattle, if the majority of citizens have a bit of concern about their city, then they will unseat the mayor whenever her term ends. But this is about 4 to 6 weeks too late whenever this began about a month ago.
I know, crazy.
This should have never happened. This should have been stopped the first minute that this happened. Police should have taken over. They should have never left the precinct. There never been should have been barriers. I mean, this is absurd. And the governor didn't step in. The governor of the state did not step in.
That's right.
So this was insane, and I'm not even going to say good for them for closing it down because this is late. They're 6 weeks late doing what they should have done on day one.
Yeah, but for quote progressives, you mentioned it's insane. It's insane to common sense people, but for progressives and these far left people, it's sane. It's perfectly normal to allow this to happen. Well, not normal, but I mean, they didn't do anything to stop it. And the police chief, by the way, does she serve at the pleasure of the mayor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I've watched her. She seems helpless. It's really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because She seems like she wants to do her job,
mm-hmm.
but yet the mayor says, no, don't do your job.
Nope.
Don't go in there and disperse of these people and get these city blocks back. And now they're trying to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are they using, like bulldozers or something?
They've gone in with heavy equipment to remove the cement blocks that have been around that area.
These people destroyed that part of Seattle.
They did.
They spray painted on literally everything, trees, buildings, mailboxes.
Seriously? Yeah, I haven't seen pictures.
They painted. It was, you thought the people in L.A. County in California had a homeless problem.
Yeah.
And a waste problem. This place was disgusting.
Now they got it. So you're telling me some business owners there are filing a class action lawsuit against the mayor?
That is correct. They blame her for having to be forced out of business.
They're probably going to win that one.
Yeah, and they should be paid damages.
Well, they should. They should. But you know, the most embarrassing thing, I think, if you're a police officer and have an inkling of law and order in your fiber, is that the mayor allowed these anarchists to take over a precinct, a police precinct. And at one point in her compromise talks, she was going to allow them to stay there so as a place where she would go negotiate with them. It's hard to believe. We've drawn the comparison before. If this was a bunch of conservatives and they took over a Planned Parenthood, I tell you what, in these Democrat cities, it wouldn't have lasted half a day.
Yeah. Right.
It is humiliating for the police department there.
Oh yeah.
It really is. It's as if they letting these anarchists take over a precinct and then not taking it back. Well, that's been known for what, 3 or 4 weeks now.
Oh yes.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story.
Well, across the country in New York City, council there voted last night to cut the police department's budget by $1 billion.
Go for it, New York.
$1 billion.
Is that a third of their budget?
It's they have a $6 billion budget.
A sixth billion.
And now it was not a unanimous decision. This is going to be cut number 10, Brent. Councilman Joe Borelli, he predicts what's going to happen next because of this ridiculous move by city council there in New York.
And we know that what we're doing will create a more violent city, and yet we're doing it anyway. But we're also making these cuts to continue this false propagation that police officers are the gravest danger to the public, as though less police officers will somehow make the general public safer in New York City.
Yeah, New York's already a dangerous place and has grown more dangerous. But now on top of this, it'll be even more dangerous. I think this Councilman Joe Borelli is exactly right. But also, you've had a huge uptick in the number of police resignations.
Yeah, New York City will bypass Chicago as the most dangerous city in America in a matter of probably 12 months once these changes.
Well, it's larger. I mean, it's twice the size of Chicago. So
yeah, but even per capita, it will.
Per capita, okay.
I think if you take $1 billion of the $6 billion away from the police, and not to mention they are removing plainclothes police officers or undercover officers, which was over 1,000 or more of those. And those officers play a huge role in busting up gang activity and drug activity on a daily basis in New York City. So that's going to be a huge blow too. So we could see New York become another Chicago.
So when you combine the cuts in the police department budget, you're saying it's $6 billion a year they spend on police work?
Yes.
In New York City?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying they're cutting $1 billion out of it?
That's right.
Okay. And then also you're saying that a lot of the police officers are retiring.
Getting out.
50% uptick in retirements.
Yep.
Yeah, getting out. You better go see New York now.
Yeah. While you can.
While you can.
Before it becomes like the common thread? The common thread, Seattle, New York, Chicago, St. Louis.
Democrat
run.
Yep.
Democrat run. That's just not a coincidence.
If you want chaos, vote for the Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I see the world right there. I agree with you. I think the trying to understand the mind of these secular progressives, which Abe calls regressives, Abraham does. They think that if you take away police from situations, police have guns and billy clubs and they have tasers and they have handcuffs, that if you take a person with those weapons away, weapons and or tools, that you're going to be able to have a nicer criminal.
Yeah.
Huh? To deal with. And you de-escalate the possibility of a shooting taking place or a bad incident with a criminal if you can be more Dr. Phil-ish.
Mm.
I know that term's never been used before, but this is the way they think.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Social workers, send social workers, send people. In the LA, they're going to start sending people who are social workers, counselors, out to places they call when they get, quote, nonviolent calls. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did see that.
Now, who's going to decide what a nonviolent call is?
Over the phone.
Over the phone. You know, so when some things will be clearly violent. There's somebody threatening me at my door with a gun. Others will be there's somebody banging on my door. Well, do they have a gun, sir? Well, I don't know. Well, we'll send a counselor right out.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think this is, do you borrow your word, Walker, earlier, insane. But this is the way these people think.
Yeah.
They really think this way.
And if the citizens of these cities,
yes,
don't stand up,
yes,
and vote these people out,
right? Mm-hmm.
Then you get,
don't complain.
Yeah, you get what you
don't
get.
Complain when you have law, when you have roaming gangs,
mm-hmm,
in your city streets. And by the way, when they had the riots in LA a few weeks ago, they went to Santa Monica.
Yes.
They went to upscale neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you saw what happened in St. Louis. They mm-hmm. broke through a
gated community.
Yeah.
And now we've all seen this on TV, the man and his wife come out with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got, well, said hundreds, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think 300, 200 to 300.
Out in front of their house.
Yeah. They've been interviewed. They said they were scared for their life.
Sure they were. Who wouldn't be?
They didn't know what was going to happen next.
And now the city attorney or the district attorney, who?
Yes. Her name is Kimberly Gardner. Is she going to prosecute the people who broke into the community? Oh, no. Cut number 9. Have a listen to what she plans to do.
I am disturbed by the events that occurred over this weekend where there were peaceful protesters who were met with guns and a violent assault. We must protect the rights to peacefully protest, and any attempts to chill it through intimidation or use of force will not be tolerated. Since learning of these events over this weekend, I've worked with the public and the police to investigate these tragic events. I will use every extent of Missouri law to hold individuals accountable.
All right, first of all, what she's talking about there, she's a city prosecutor?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that what she is?
She is.
What's
the
her title?
St. Louis Circuit Prosecutor.
Okay, so again, this is, so what she's saying is, by the way, did she play that again? Because does she accuse these people of a violent assault? Did I hear that right?
I am disturbed by the events that occurred over this weekend where there were peaceful protesters who were met with guns and a violent assault.
Okay, stop right there.
That's false.
Nobody assaulted anybody.
Right.
That's a false accusation that's provable because they did have their guns.
Yes.
The man had a, what did he have, Walker? You know guns.
He had an AR type rifle, AR-15.
And the woman had a
pistol. She had a pistol, a pistol. Small pistol.
And so, yes, they had it out in front of their property in their yard, not knowing what these people were going to do. But they didn't assault anybody, so that was false.
Yeah.
This woman is just unhinged from reality.
Well, she calls them peaceful protesters.
Yeah.
They broke down a gate.
Who went into a gated community, broke down the gate to go into a gated community.
Yeah.
But by the way, somebody said they were headed toward the mayor's house.
They were.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going into a gated community, busted the gate down, went in, hundreds of people, walking down a residential neighborhood,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Headed toward the mayor's house. Did the mayor have anything to say about this? Y'all know?
I don't know.
Haven't seen
anything. Anyway, but this prosecutor is saying not not the, she called them peaceful protesters, and it didn't get violent. So that is true that it didn't get violent. However, it could have very easily.
Yeah.
But the problem is she is blaming the couple for having guns on their own, in their own yard, protecting their own property, scared for their life. The police either didn't respond or didn't have time to respond, right? And sometimes you don't have time to wait for 15, 20 minutes on a police officer to show up for something like that. By the way, are you going to send one or two cops out for 300 people? Right. You know what I'm saying?
How's that going to work? Yeah.
Yeah, so this is right is called wrong and wrong is called right situation right here. But we'll see what happens. Now, I saw this gentleman on Fox News last night. Now, is the prosecutor going to go after them, Walker? Or she hasn't said
yeah, she's threatening. She said she's going to try if she can to go,
go after
them.
The couple.
Yes. Yes.
And the irony here is the man is an attorney that his work is to work with poor people.
Yeah. He's like a civil rights attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Black and white, but he works with a lot of black folks who don't have the money to pay big time lawyers.
Yeah.
That's what he does. And he's saying, I got a lot. My black friends were calling me saying, are you okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, it's a misnomer that this was a roving roving gang of black youth. These were a bunch of white young people too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is about these the age demographic for all this seems to me, generally speaking, and I'm not talking about the protest a few weeks ago that were all across the country, which were basically for the Black Lives Matter and the racial unity and those type things. These gangs and these hardcore rallies and riots that are going on, they seem to be made up of like 17 to 25 year olds.
Yeah.
Yep.
Walker, who a lot of them look like they hadn't had a bath in a while.
Yeah.
They got tattoos all over.
Right.
They look like they look like your stereotypical anarchist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre how consistent the makeup of these groups are, and it looks like a bunch of high school and college kids.
Yeah, they don't have jobs.
They don't have jobs. They're out of school because of coronavirus. And if they did have jobs, they're on unemployment, making $900 a week now. So they're out protesting. Yeah.
Now, what do you say though to people? By the way, for you people with tattoos, don't email me. I know I made a generalization there.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of good people have tattoos. So I, please. But when you got tattoos on your face, that anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm going down that road, except to say I've seen these people out on the street. But so Walker, there's also we're describing a disorganization, but there's also the organized part of this.
Yeah.
So it's not all just teenagers or college age kids with nothing to do. There is an organized effort to cause mayhem across the country too, right?
Yeah, there is. And it's bizarre because you would think with the George Floyd situation that you would have a lot of young black men protesting, and there were to a certain extent, but a lot of the violent people were the white Antifa type guys who were in their 20s, and same thing with tearing down the monuments, which it leads to who is leading this effort. And what's their motivation? Because it sure is not about a bunch of disadvantaged people and poor neighborhoods.
A lot of the people who are concerned about police and the relationship with the black community say that these Antifa types or these have hijacked the message.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I've heard that too.
They moved the conversation from police relations with the black community to how do we tear down America as a country.
Yeah.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
What are the non-negotiables of Christianity? One of the non-negotiables that we dare not put up for revision, that we dare not change our position on, is what we believe about creation.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
The Democrat Party is in a bit of hot water. They accuse President Trump of glorifying white supremacy at a July 4th event at Mount Rushmore. The president scheduled to attend a fireworks display at the National Landmark, honoring George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. All four presidents have been targets of Black Lives Matter protesters demanding that statues in their honor be torn down. The Democrats said the president was holding a rally to glorify white supremacy on sacred Native American lands. They later deleted the tweet. What's really puzzling is why anyone would think shooting off fireworks at Mount Rushmore on the 4th of July is akin to white supremacy. There have actually been calls from the left to blast the faces of all four former presidents from the face of the mountain. But South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said that's never going to happen. She says the attacks on American monuments are no longer about equality, it's about a radical rewriting of history. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, in September, 3 months from now, we're going to Washington, D.C. for our spiritual heritage tour. And we're going to Mount Vernon as well, Arlington National Cemetery, all the sites in D.C., the Bible Museum. The Bible Museum is open. Mount Vernon's open, so the D.C. area is reopening, so we look forward to having you with us. For those of you who want to go, many of you are already signed up. We do have a few seats available for that September 16th through the 20th trip with Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation. He will be with us to give you the history and the Christian heritage of our country. It's going to be a lot of fun with folks from around the country. So if you want to go with us, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com is the website. Tim here with Walker and Fred and Abraham Hamilton III. Abe joins us. Good morning, Brother Abe.
Good morning, Tim, Fred, hey, Walker.
You're recovering from some injuries, right?
Yeah, I am.
Your knee and your ankle?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, I know I'm getting probably too detailed, but...
My blood type is, no, I'm just kidding.
No. So... may I ask you, were you in some kind of a championship basketball playoff or something?
No, I wasn't.
No.
Well, it was a hazard of dadding.
Hazard of dad. Oh, okay. You were wrestling in the floor and kid took you down?
With my children.
Okay, but you're going to be okay?
I'm going to be fine.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm going to be fine.
All right, we got a... topic for you in just a moment, but and you can weigh in on what we're about to talk about. Prior to getting to the school choice victory in the Supreme Court that we want to discuss with you and what that means, but what do you have first, Fred?
Former Vice President Joe Biden came out of his basement yesterday, went to a local high school to hold a little news conference. Now, there's two aspects of this I wanted to talk about for the next few minutes. Do you remember when Barack Obama was president, the kind of questions he used to get when Hillary Clinton was campaigning, the kinds of questions he used to get from the fawning media?
Yeah.
Well,
great suit today, Mr. President.
Yes.
What do you have to say about the color of your tie?
Yeah, how do you feel?
Right, I know. Okay. I know. They were in love with Barack Obama because they agreed with his politics.
Exactly.
And he was president. Trump, not so much.
The love fest was so bad yesterday.
With Biden?
Yes, that the Trump campaign has already made an ad out of the kinds of questions that were asked of the former vice president. This is cut number six.
I'm happy to take questions if you have them. He gave me a list of how to recognize. Is Alex AP out there? I was told by NBC, Mike. Where's the Wilmington, the Delaware State News? I mean, Delaware News Journal, I should say. That's my hometown team. I better call on them. I'm sorry. Who was I supposed to go to next? Anybody? I got to make sure I get the Wilmington newspaper here before I leave here. I'll be dead.
You ever been in a room and with multiple people and somebody says something and everybody just lowers their head and puts their hands over their eyes? You know, signifying this is cringeworthy.
Yes.
This is embarrassing for all of us. Please don't talk about that.
Yep.
Well, that's what you feel like when you're around, when you're watching poor Joe Biden. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. I doubt it.
It was bad.
Well, he was trying to remember the name. And again, I'm not making fun of older people.
And he had a written list in front of him.
They gave me a list.
Yes, they gave me a list.
Yes, and he gave him a list of who the reporters were and when to call on them. This wasn't a, like they do with Trump, where he stands in the rope line, you're waiting to get on Marine One, and he takes all comers. Remember, and he answers all questions. You may not like his answers, you may not like how he answers them, but he takes them on name, may even call them fake media, or fake news. However, what I'm saying is that Joe Biden yesterday couldn't recall the name of his local newspaper.
That's right.
He lives in Wilmington, Delaware.
Delaware.
This has been his home for 50 plus years, and he couldn't hardly recall the name of his local newspaper. I'm telling you, we all see it. The man is on the decline, and not as sharp as he used to be. President Trump said he's lost his fastball.
Yeah.
So now. Here's another aspect of this. By the way, you know, and this is going to happen to all of us if we live long enough, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and people make mistakes with what we all do when we speak. We factually get something incorrect, or we misspeak, or we can't recall something. So that happens to most all of us, right? But not to the degree it's happening in the public with Vice President Biden. We all see what's going on here. And, in fact, he was asked about this.
We have that. Fox News reporter right at the end, just before Joe Biden walked out of that high school gymnasium, he was asked by Fox News reporter Doug McElway about Biden's cognitive decline.
And before you play that, Brent, you have to listen, I think, real closely. Out of the first thing to the reporter that comes out of the mouth of Joe Biden, and then listen to this.
Cut five.
Some have speculated, that you are subject to some degree of cognitive decline. I'm 65. I don't have word recollection that I used to have. I forget my train of thought from time to time. You got 12 years on me, sir. Have you been tested for some degree of cognitive decline?
I've been testing and I'm constantly testing.
Look,
all I got to do is watch me, and I can hardly wait to compare my cognitive capability to the cognitive capability of the man I'm running against. Thank you so much.
Play that again. Listen to what he calls the reporter before he ever gets started.
Some have speculated.
You're a lying dog.
Right there. He called the Fox reporter before he even had a chance
to get the question out.
To ask his question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something before that I didn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him a lying dog face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the second time, and they talk about President Trump. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the man who's supposed to bring, quote, dignity back to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
He calls the Fox reporter a... it's not funny, but it's funny. A lying dog face. This is the second time he's used this expression. A few months back, you remember on the campaign trail, it was a young lady who was asking him a question at a campaign stop somewhere in Illinois, I think. And he called her a
lying dog face pony soldier.
Yep.
Okay. Is that a band? Is it like a, huh? Is that a country band? The Lion Dog Face Pony Soldiers take the stage?
I don't think so.
Type that in, Brent, our producer, and see if that's a line from the movie. Because somebody said it was a line, Walker, it was a line from a movie.
Yeah, it may be, but that's apparently his go-to when he gets frustrated at a question from a reporter.
But what I'm saying is...
Or not a question, because he belted it out before the reporter even finished the question.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to point out is here. President Trump has a reputation of sparring with reporters, and he can name call too sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that he's ever called anybody a dog face. By the way, my dog has a nice face. But anyway, if you ask me, a cute face, little Maltese, black nose. Anyway, the point is here. Joe Biden is getting friendly questions for the most part by a press that's hoping he pulls through and makes it and beats President Trump. And he's already coming unhinged, right? He also told somebody on the campaign trail, you remember this, that they were full of blank, which you're full of. And he said a curse word.
That was another Fox News reporter, by the way.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just saying that Joe Biden, if you're looking for him to be this, paragon of civility and dignity, it's not going to be that way. Did you ever find out what a lion dog face pony show is?
Pony soldier.
Brent.
Right now, all I'm seeing is it's a movie where an Indian chief turns and tells John Wayne that. And I don't have the movie title. I'm working on that.
Joe Biden's watching a movie with the Indians.
And John Wayne.
John Wayne. I think he needs to explain himself.
Explain yourself, Pilgrim.
That's explained.
Anyway,
that's good.
What I thought was interesting, too, about that, Abe, was that he didn't even let the question get out of the mouth hardly of the reporter before he's causing. He knew he was from Fox News, and therefore that made him a law. So Biden wanted to get in the lion dog face before he ever got through with his question.
Yeah, and it's obvious. We've seen this before. The media is going to do all it can to help get Joe Biden across the finish line. I mean, you remember when Hillary Clinton was caught on video walking, I believe it was somewhere in New York, and she fell down. Trying to get into her truck.
I remember that. Yeah.
And magically, no one in the mainstream media was curious at all as to what was going on with her. They didn't try to investigate anything.
That was the 9/11 memorial service.
Yeah.
Candidate Trump was there, too.
Yeah, and she falls down, and no one has any questions, any concerns for a person who could be president of the United States. And the same thing is happening now. Joe Biden, I'm just going to say it patently, Joe Biden in his basement is a campaign strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the campaign strategy is hide Biden as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Marxists try to tear up the country and blame Trump for it all. Mm-hmm. And when things get rough, another spike in coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is their blame election Trump strategy. Oh yeah, that's all. It's all a part of the blame Trump, because they know they know the elevator's not going all the way to the top floor. Right. They're not. They don't care about him personally. They want him to be their way in, but they want everybody that's coming in with him to come in and what he represents in terms in terms of reversing the course of the nation policy wise and stopping President Trump.
Okay, first of all, we got the name calling. As I said, he called the Fox reporter a lie. You lying dog face.
And he was going to keep going and say pony soldier, but he stopped.
But the substance of the question was from the Fox reporter, and I've seen him before. I can't remember his name.
Doug McElway.
Okay, yeah. I've seen him. That was a question nobody else will answer.
Yes.
And he was trying to do it as gingerly as you could without insulting the man. I'm talking about Biden. Even though he had just been, the reporter himself had just been insulted. He was saying, look, I'm 65. You know, I'm not as sharp as I once was. Basically, he was saying, what about you? Have you had your cognitive
abilities
tested? Now, Biden said,
I'm tested all the time.
What does he mean by that? And why are you tested all the time?
That's right.
Doesn't that beg that question?
No, I caught that.
I think
too.
He's lying. He's not tested every. He doesn't leave his house. There's no way he's tested.
He said, Yes, I've been tested. And by the way, he hadn't even had a COVID-19 test.
That's right. He said, I didn't want to go to the front of the line, so I've never been tested.
And they want to fault Trump for not wearing a mask at the White House.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys are letting facts get in the way of the movement.
This is a triple standard, double standard.
Yeah, but the interesting question is what fake crisis is going to arise to prevent him from doing debates? Something's going to come up that's going to prevent him from getting on the stage with Donald J. Trump.
Don't you think they're going to come back? The Democrats are probably going to come back. Well, we want to do a virtual debate.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Trump's going to say, no, I'm not doing it. And they're going to say it's off then.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be the best out there?
And I think it's going to be related to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Things are going to go, there's a spike. Mm-hmm. We all of the people that have to be involved in the debates. We can play basketball in Florida, but we can't have debates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can have baseball, but can't have debates.
Yeah.
They do not want to have them debate and not live, not have them stand next to one another.
Yeah.
And it's
coming. I got a great idea, guys. Got a great idea.
So encouraging.
If I'm the Trump campaign manager, I would since they've been doing this face mask virtue signaling. I'm not saying all people who wear face masks are virtue signaling. Don't misunderstand me. But especially the Democrats I would say to Biden, the Biden campaign, let's do it at the debate. Since you're all for the face mask, you wear one. Mm-hmm. And President Trump will not wear one. And, mm-hmm. We challenge you to wear your.
Yeah, I think Biden will wear his
debate.
To the debate. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
This is going to be a Saturday Night Live skit if that happens. I tell you what, though. Allison, my wife said, you write that first debate. You said, we need to write that on the calendar now.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be, they ought to do pay-per-view and both of them take a
big cut. What we need to watch out for.
Huh?
What we need to watch out for is for the commission, the debate commission, making President Trump wear a mask. That's what we need to watch out for. Seriously.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. They're going
to
say.
The media is dying for President Trump to get a mask on. They just want a picture of him in a mask just so they can say they did it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we'll see what happens. So now my suggestion earlier, it sounds funny, but that could be a real way to get out of the debate for Biden is to say we'll do a virtual debate.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, of course, it would be you can't really do that. Okay, you can't see the people, you can't see the interaction very well. What did you just say? I didn't hear the camera didn't work, and you know how Biden operates here.
You have a bad connection.
Am I still on? Who am I talking to? Anyway, and I don't think Trump would agree to that anyway.
No.
I really don't. So what they would do was then they would say, okay, the debate commission has said we're going to have a debate, virtual debate, and then Trump's going to say I'm not doing that. Right? And they're going to say, well, therefore the debate's off. And that gets Biden out of having to spar with him on stage.
Yeah.
That's a real possibility. Or what you just said, Walker.
Right.
They both must wear a face mask.
Yeah, if I'm President Trump, I don't commit to a virtual debate.
Oh, no, I don't
do
either.
It at all.
No, I don't either.
And they can, you know, the two of them can debate 10 feet apart.
Yeah.
You know, so nobody.
But the projectiles, though, they could go 10, 12, 50, 75 feet.
Oh, my word.
And they can be projected horizontally
unless you're diagonally. Yeah, unless you're riding.
But he did.
Yes,
he did.
Especially if you're riding in the cause of LGBTQIAP+.
Yes.
Then the particles selectively discriminate in spite of the Supreme Court's Bostick opinion.
Right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, you lying dog face pony people. And, okay. You're right, Abe. Don't injure yourself. Okay.
Oh, man.
You can send us. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net if you would like to. Now, some good news from a couple of days ago from the Supreme Court, which is rare these days.
Oh my gosh!
Set it up for us, Fred, and then Abe can comment.
Yeah, Supreme Court striking down a state ban on taxpayer funding for religious schools, and it's become known as the shooting down of the Blaine Amendment from the 1800s. But basically,
give us the whole story behind the Blaine Amendment from the 1800s, Fred. How did that relate to Canada? I'm just
no relation.
Nobody know. But the point is, nobody even knows what the Blaine Amendment is.
Very quickly, it was something that was brought in to try to stop taxpayers' money going to Catholic schools.
Okay. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
Okay. So, what does this mean?
Well, one thing, excuse me, one thing, there are some who are opponents of school choice who are saying this is clearing the road for taxpayer dollars to be used to sustain private schools. And, I would like it to be that far reaching. I just don't think it is, primarily because of the way Chief Justice Roberts wrote in his opinion. But the substance of this decision is, one, first of all, I agree that it was a good decision. It was 5-4. Chief Justice Roberts agreed with Justices Thomas, Alito, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch to make a 5-4 majority that allows the state of Montana basically had a program, a tax credit scholarship program that gave residents up to $150 in tax credits for donating to a private scholarship organization. That's what it did. $150 tax credit. If you make a donation to this scholarship organization, you get $150 tax credit for the mm-hmm. state. Well, originally, those who opposed private schools said you can't do that because this credit is being used for going towards donations for private religious schools. And so then the Montana Supreme Court just said, well, in an effort to avoid that, let's just scrap the whole program. The 5-4 majority ruled in this instance, and this is where, you know, it's a good decision, but I don't
think it's limited.
It's limited. I don't think people should go too far, because Chief Justice Roberts literally said that a family receiving a scholarship for a qualified education provider can't be discriminated against if it so happens to go to a religious school. So he says a state program that happens to benefit basically a secular purpose shouldn't exclude a religious organization from participating in a program that may benefit a religious school. So it's not a full-throated endorsement for religious schools or religious education or for tax dollars going towards that. But they're saying if there's a program that if it does have a benefit on an ancillary basis for religious schools, you can't exclude the religious schools just for that reason alone. Based on the First Amendment.
What is it that you believe would be fair and constitutional with respect to parents who choose to either homeschool or private school or Christian school? What do you think their rights should be in terms of taxation? You understand the question?
Okay. Education dollars should follow the students, period.
Yes. Okay.
All money that's spent on education at the state level and at the federal level, it comes from taxpayers.
Yes.
If I'm a taxpayer and money is being taken out of my hard-earned paycheck to sustain education, and I have children who are being educated, Why can't those dollars be directed to wherever I want them to be educated?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's what should happen. It should be a more broad.
Why isn't that? That sounds fair and reasonable to me. And, yeah. You know, my grandchildren are going to go to a Christian school. Okay. At least my first couple, three are going to go to a Christian school. Well, I was wondering myself, it's not me, it's their mom, but
yeah.
I'm just saying, why couldn't they, the money they would otherwise be taxed to pay for the public schools, and I'm not hostile to public schools, although I think they've got their problems that are becoming more and more of a problem, and I'm talking about the kind of material that they're teaching and things of that nature. But that aside, mm-hmm. why can't a person like that, or a person like your family, who homeschools, mm-hmm. deduct whatever it is that would have gone to the educational system of the state of Mississippi be kept by you to use? That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Especially who
could disagree with that? What would be the argument on the other side of that?
Well,
what do they say?
You've got a powerful education lobby. There's a lot of money tied up in education, not just from the teacher standpoint, but from the materials, from the lunch, from the school program. I mean, from the lunch program, from the athletic
you have
events.
To pay the teachers, and you have to maintain the school properties, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so you've got a lot of lobbying and power tied up in the educational system. A lot of money to be made. So, but other than that, you can't argue against that parents should be able to keep their tax dollars to pay for their child's education.
That's what I would say. Again, I have a lot of friends who are in public education and a lot of Christian teachers and people. So I'm not saying there aren't a lot of wonderful people in public education. I'm saying, hey, would you ask them to quiet down out there, those pony lion dog face people? We can hear them. We can hear them over the microphone. Anyway, here's the thing is if you're paying per – this has happened all over the country. The schools, the public schools, get a certain percentage. No, they get a certain amount per student, true?
Per student, correct. Per head.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. Then if my grandchild or your child is homeschooled or Christian schooled or other private school, why does they're not in the seat at the public school, so why should you have to pay for that seat? You understand what I'm saying here?
That's my argument.
Right.
That just seems fair to me, and I don't know why anybody could disagree with that.
One of the groups that fought this decision, that reacted to this decision, was the teachers' union. Mm-hmm. The teachers' union is a powerful, powerful
but
union.
But why do they care, Abe? I know I'm asking a rhetorical question to an extent. I know the answer. But in the name of fairness here, I'm asking, why do they care? Why does the teachers' union care whether I send my kid to a private Christian school or homeschool or do something else? Why do they care?
They don't care about what you do with your child. They care about where the money goes.
And it's they don't want
competition. But my child is not in the school to use the money that you're charging.
They don't want competition.
Because the money is not only going to the teachers, but it's going to the administration and to every level of the bureaucracy.
Yes.
That the money that's designated for the child is going to pay for far more than the child.
And it's competition.
Yes.
And where competition is, you have to step up your game.
That's why.
And right now, there's no competition.
That's why all these folks don't even want school choice.
Yep.
That's right.
Among
right.
public schools.
And if, right. and if your right. concern is your system would be depleted of students if the taxpayer money follows the child, then you should be more concerned about the product
right.
that you're offering.
Why is that? Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.